Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, January 19th, and we are glad you are here with us. Maggie, as I start every show, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I have my scarf here with me. You know?
A scarf. Oh, you got your Twitter account with you. Cool.
Yeah, I have my Twitter account here with me. I'm doing good. There's a concert in my bar today. Red Hot Chili Peppers tribute band.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They do a whole tour, you know, of the country, and the guitarist is actually one of my bosses.
Oh, nice.
So most recently, okay, bear with me here. It's so funny. Most recently, he started wearing black turtlenecks.
Okay.
And mind you that he doesn't watch wrestling whatsoever. He has no idea that I watch wrestling or anything. I'm not sure that he even knows what wrestling is, okay? So having that in mind, he was, you know, surfing through his phone today, like drinking his coffee while I'm at work. And all of a sudden he looked at me and said, "Hey, how's your dad doing?" And I just died laughing, and I could never explain to him why I'm laughing, because again, a black turtleneck, you know, a black turtleneck, and hey, how's your dad doing? I'm like, bah.
So
I could never explain this to him, and if I did, he'll just fire me because he think that I'm mentally unstable or something. But that's a whole different story for a whole different podcast. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining us today. Please, please leave a like on the video. It goes a long way. It helps us with the algorithm. It helps also, you know, let Sean know that you guys enjoy the show. Also, please donate to Super Chat. It's the bottom, you know, of the live chat. It's the little, you know, dollar sign thingy. I'm sure that a lot of you are so tired of me explaining this to you guys each and every episode. But please donate to Super Chat. It helps us a lot. Any amount will get your statement and comment read on the air. You can also send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the money from it. Share, you know, our video on social media and stuff. You can, you know, follow us on our social media. At the end of the show, we're going to tell you where. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about. But before we start, Rob, how are you? You were on the Wicked Crazy Pinfalls this week. It's actually back. I'm so glad that it's back. Shout out to our friend Throwback.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. It was a good time. We talked NXT last night, and it was fun. It's good to do a show with throwback again. So
yeah. Throwback's a sweetie.
Yeah, it was real fun doing a show with him again. It's been a long time, and like both of us, the first time we did podcast, we're on Wicked Crazy Pinfall. So
yeah, that
was cool. But
throwback pretty much paved the way, you know.
Yeah, he did.
Fightful's NXT,
and you know he doesn't have any other kids that I can announce that they're having yet, so you know, don't have to worry about that. So
I will never forget that.
Me neither.
Shout out to the chat. Hi everyone in the chat. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, don't tell me if you guys are having a kid because I will announce it.
Yeah, Rob will announce it on the show, and he won't even credit you. Like,
yeah. So big news last night.
Also another thing, guys. Rob and I mutually are glitching. You know, in my point of view, Rob is glitching, and Rob says that I'm glitching. So if someone glitches at any point of the show, please tell us in the chat, because that's a dispute that we're having here.
Yeah.
Continue, Rob. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
All right. So last night, some big news came out. I mean, it was already speculated that Okada would be possibly leaving New Japan, but he is leaving New Japan now. New Japan announced it last night in a tweet that his contract is up January 31st. However, he will be still wrestling a couple of dates after that, but he will be free to leave the New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is still very surprising to me. I just did not expect that to happen. I thought deep down he would always just figure it out and resign.
You and me both.
But he is not. Now, the big question I have is, let's do some what they call rec spec. Maggie, where is Okada going?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Seeing him in WWE will be amazingly different. And it's something that I think it's worth exploring. On the other hand, it's safe to say that they haven't had any, you know, luck booking Japanese wrestlers. There's always room to improve there. But it would be a total lie if I say that I don't want Okada versus Nakamura versus AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, for God's sakes. I want all of these. And just like
Punk.
I want to see all of that. But yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, they were supposed to face at Forbidden Door, right? At some point, I'm pretty sure that was the plan. I'm probably leaning more towards WWE right now. I'm sorry if I disappoint some people, but it's just because it's kind of unknown. I've seen what Okada can be in AEW because he was at AEW, he was at Forbidden Door. Like, he's had matches on the show. He's been there, and I've seen what that is. But I'm so, so very curious as to what he can be in WWE. There's probably a lot he can do with a mouthpiece. I don't know. It's also Triple H, right? Like, I feel like that's... I feel like the Rumble will be a great way to see what the road to WrestleMania is going to be when Triple H is in charge. So a lot is at stake at the Rumble. Not only the Rumble itself. I think it's going to be a pretty good show. But I'm leaning a bit towards WWE.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah.
I am too. And the reason why is because I think it would be, I think they're just
shocking.
I mean, there'd be more matches that I mean, don't get me wrong. There's so many different people he could have great matches with in AEW. I'm not dumb. You know, there's amazing matches he can have wherever he goes, whether it's AEW, WWE, New Japan, or TNA. Regardless where he goes, he's going to have some entertaining matches, and he could have some great matchups.
Also, of course, TNA is also an option. Like, I'm not, because before we started the show, I just watched TNA from last night, Impact. It was a hell of a show. I mean, the fact that they started the first Impact, TNA Impact, with a main event between Josh Alexander and Will Ospreay, and what a match that was. We're gonna, you know, mention that later. Of course, I think that it's a possibility that TNA is on the table. Also,
the advantage he has if he goes to AEW, he can still live in Japan. That's one advantage he definitely would have. Mm-hmm. WWE, it's doubtful they would do something where he could do that. But time changes, maybe WWE needs to change too. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing, that now that things are kind of changing up, I can see way more leverage, you know, for you know, stuff like that. And who knows? I mean, like, it's 2024. Like, we thought that 2023 was a wild year. I feel like things are gonna get wilder. So it's gonna be pretty exciting. Well, like, whatever. Like, the fact that he's leaving New Japan, like, that's shocking enough as it is. And I can't even believe that we're, you know, discussing this.
I know, it's crazy. I mean the way I look at it too is the fact that AEW could add Will Ospreay and Okada to their roster is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So, I don't agree with that, Scott. I think that was the previous guy that would have done that. Triple H isn't going to do that. I think we both know that. But
yeah, I don't think he's going to be sold short on the Triple H. But again, it's like we're talking about stuff that haven't even happened yet. Also, we're just now entering the Triple H era. So there's no way we can know for certain anything.
Yeah, free agent wise.
That's what makes it exciting. That is.
Yeah, and I'm curious to know what, I mean, we won't know. And I don't know what's been reported because I don't usually look outside of Fightful. But I'm curious to know how close Ospreay was compared to, like, WWE price-wise, like, contract-wise. Yeah. And I'm bringing a special guest for us to have her speculate. Hello, Kate.
Hello! How are my faves today?
See, there's your DM now. I accidentally sent Maggie the DM, but I'm like, don't open your DMs.
I haven't looked at it. Oh, my God, it's Kate!
It's not a titty pic. It's just about me coming out to the show to surprise you and talk to Mokara. How are you? How are my faves today?
We're good, I think. I'm good. Maggie's good.
I'm even better now.
See?
Stop. Me too, honestly. I'm very happy to be here. I love hanging out with you guys.
Went to Dunkin'.
What are you drinking? Ooh. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a vanilla coffee from Dunkin'. Sponsor us, Dunkin'.
Yeah, sponsor.
I will do this more. I actually didn't run to Dunkin'. I had Dunkin' delivered to me like the most privileged little asshole in the world. Nice. But it's nasty out today. And I had to get the dog out, and I still needed coffee that I had not had. So I was like, I'm going to do the white girl thing and make someone deliver it to me.
You mean that bitch Daphne?
That bitch Daphne. She's like... She's the best. She's looking at me right now like, what was that outside? I know, it's nasty out there.
So, okay, I'm so sorry you guys have such a bad time right now, like weather wise. It's just
one of the best bits. And he did send us a super chat before this, so that's great. We did get that money beforehand.
Thank you, beforehand.
I knew what I was doing.
I said I had to walk the dog, but I was like, let me show up late so that we get Ryan's money first and go from there. But honestly, I just wish this had been at Christmas. Like, it's not even that bad. It's not snowing a ton. It's not like a foot of snow or anything, but it was just, I was like, this is Christmas weather. I'm one of those people that after January 1st, I'm like, okay, now just be nice. Like, but for the holidays, I want Christmas weather. Yeah,
exactly.
Ryan says, guys, it's snowing. I hate it. I'm lazy. I don't want to shovel. This is your fault, Rob. It usually is my fault. So that's okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because it usually is my fault in my bar, but like I'm not there now. So it has to be you. So.
It's got to be someone else. Yeah, it's... You know, I feel like if you pay money to say stuff, you can say most things about me. Like, you get, if you're going to pay money about it, I don't care. You want to troll me? Thanks. I'll take your money.
There you go.
I was on Mikey Ruckus's Be Kind Rewind show. It's just a nostalgia trip. It's really fun. We talked about, we did table reads for Anchorman and the Dewey Cox story. We sang songs, we talked about Little
Big League. Stop being so wonderful, God.
No, wait, for real though, Mikey is so great. He has such just incredible energy, and to go on and hang out with him and not talk about wrestling at all was super fun. It's just like a very nostalgia throwback show. So check out, I mean, selfishly check out my episode, but that whole series is gonna be such a blast because he's such a contagious personality, and it's such a fun trip to just, it feels like you're hanging out in someone's living room the whole time. It's the best. So check that out. But thanks for plugging me, Soupy.
Yes. Few people notice, by the way, but like Mikey Ruckus is the father of my wrestling drinks video.
Like, is he really?
He gave me the thumbs up because like one of the first videos I wanted to make, I had to hook, you know, get in touch with him because like I wanted one of his songs in the background, and he was like, oh yeah, like do it, that sounds really great. And I told him all about my ideas and everything, and like not many people know that
he's a gem. He really really is. Just an absolute gem of a human being. But
let's talk
some Okada. So what do you guys want to talk
what are you guys
about?
So you were going on live last night when that news broke.
If we could stop having news break monumental news 2 minutes before I'm about to go live, I was literally hovering over the start stream button, and Reg was like, oh boy.
I mean, Vince McMahon retired in the middle of our show.
Yeah, Vince retired in the middle of your show. I unfortunately, the Bray news broke right before ROH, the J news broke right before NXT. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I think I said that to, I think it was Sean, and he was like, well, you do a lot of shows, so it's bound to happen. And I was like, that's a fair point. touche. But yeah, that was you know, there's all these free agents right now, and so much has happened already, and we're gonna see where Mercedes ends up. Looks like she's going to AEW and all these things, but I think Okada's name kind of slipped off a lot of people's radar because I think a lot of people just assumed he was going back to New Japan. I was one of those people. I figured that the appointment of Tanahashi might have had something to do with that, of in an effort to try and retain him.
Violence. Violence comes out during In the Weeds.
It's true. It's true. It's because you're in the morning news cycle, Joel. That's a different ball.
That's when all the bad news comes out.
You're getting...
I'm so glad that Steve Maclin didn't kick your ass, Joel.
I'm not.
Well, I'm also being sarcastic, but like.
it's a big one, and I think what's tough is it leaves New Japan in a really vulnerable position, but. I mean, they lost Shinsuke and they recovered. Like, they'll recover from this too. It just, as far as the product goes, I feel like 2023 was a really great table setting year for them, but I don't think they have that like ace of the promotion turnover necessarily to hand it off to. No, Ryan, I will not be reading your text on there.
Yeah. Good. Stop trying to be
if you pay.
Nonsense. Super chat. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Like... If you pay to say that, that's fine.
Well, he did have a super, he did pay for a super chat. So
yeah, to say what he already said. Oh, you can't text me to get your stuff right on air unless you're one of the Cease Girls. I'll do that all the time.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, sure.
So as I asked Maggie earlier, where do you anticipate Mr. Okada going?
Well, especially since we saw the evil EVPs this week. And then with their like text message that they received and the cliffhanger and this news coming out, it feels like AEW's the call for a few reasons. One, I think TNA, while that would be super fun, I don't know if they have the financial wherewithal to beat out somewhere like AEW, and AEW is going to want Okada. Two, I feel like a lot of the dream matches that are left are under AEW's roof, like Danielson again, right? We have to get that third part of the trilogy. He can mess around with Ospreay for however long he wants. And a lot of things like, I would love to see Okada versus Takeshita. I would love to see Okada versus Ricky Starks. I want to see Okada versus a lot of people over there, right? So Okada versus Eddie Kingston.
Josh Woods.
Please. So I think there's Josh Woods, my God. Yes, please. So I think there's a nice combination there of fresh matchups and renewed rivalries that you can have. Obviously, if Kenny's well enough to come back, keep him away from Jericho. But Jericho's obviously sitting right there, too. Like, there's a nice balance of history with people and a nice balance of new matchups in AEW, as well as the financial wherewithal to land someone like him. And it also leaves the door open to working with other promotions still. Like, that's something that WWE still hasn't figured out. And I think he has said that schedule and location are something that's a priority for him. So assuming he's staying in wrestling and not just letting his beautiful wife, who's I think like a huge voice actress in Japan, lead the way for their family, he might just be like, I'll take a break, I don't care. But assuming he's sticking around wrestling, I think AEW is probably where he ends up, because he could still work New Japan if you're in AEW. And I think schedule wise it's a little bit more forgiving than a product that's still doing house show loops and things like that.
We both think like WWE is
kind of want it to be.
Yeah,
there's so many people I would love to see him face in WWE realistically. I want to see Okada versus everyone, so it's tough, but yeah, like there's plenty of matchups in WWE.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The thing is, I mentioned this to Rob, like WWE haven't been having, you know, the greatest track record on booking Japanese wrestlers. Like they're so kind of iffy on that. But I always kind of feel like Okada is, you know, kind of a different situation. But like, it's When you think about, you know, the housing situation, because I think we all know that he wants to stay in Japan, but like we all thought that Will Ospreay didn't want to move to the States also. So I kind of feel like things can change.
Last I knew, Will Ospreay's plan was to fly back and forth most weeks. So yeah. I think his intention is still not to move, but I mean WWE. That I think is definitely something that makes sense. And to your point about like really any Asian representation whatsoever, that was under Vince. Like I think Triple H's WWE is different. If you look at what they're doing with Damage Control alone, like now we're talking not only Japanese wrestlers, we're talking about Japanese women's wrestlers, and the way that they're being presented is totally different. Asuka being one of them, right? Like I feel like she's been a complete badass under the Return to Kana kind of feel that they have. If they're bringing Julia over, I'm sure they're wise enough to make sure they're not going to waste people like this. So my hope is that you're not going to get more jacket times in the future. I'm hoping Triple H being younger and having a fresher approach is something that will entice more Japanese talent, because I think that is... I think it's really special when it is done right. And I think because stylistically what Japan offers is so different from a lot of American wrestling, it's really cool to see that exposure. And just other stuff of like, we heard the word techers on SmackDown. Like my heart skipped a beat. Like we're seeing a lot of effort, I feel like, on Triple H's part to undo some of that stereotype and to do a better job of a more authentic representation of those things. So that's really refreshing. NXT, little different story based on some of the stuff we saw this week. But I think there's the thing with Okada is no matter where he goes, he's a star already. And if he goes into a place like AEW where everybody already knows that, or WWE where the fan base is a little bit more casual, and they get to discover that he's a top star, like I think either situation is a huge win. There are plenty of, oh my God, mashups in WWE. Okada versus Sami Zayn, like even both as baby faces, like the types of faces that they are, like the storytelling in my heart there. Like there's so many people, this version of Shinsuke, what they could do, this version of Gunther, what they could do.
Here's the photo of Okada when he went to WrestleMania 34 to see his buddy Shinsuke wrestle.
Let Okada surf, man. I'm on the agenda, but I'm all in. But I think it's all upside for whoever gets him. I think this is going to be the most fun free agent year in the world. If you look at what already has happened, the only thing that sucks is like New Japan's in a tough spot. New Japan's in a tough spot right now. Yeah. And even just like things that wrestling fans don't normally think about, self-included, like the state of the Japanese economy and stuff, like just Okada getting paid in American dollars is going to be like an extra payday for whatever he signs for. So I am almost more intrigued by what moves New Japan's going to have to make now than where he goes, because I just know wherever Okada goes, it's going to be positive and happy and exciting. So so we'll see.
They were in a tough place when they lost AJ Styles also, but like they put it together. I feel like New Japan's gonna be okay. Like they've built new stars after, you know, their big stars left them. So I kind of feel like they'll be fine. Rob, you were gonna.
Well, I was just gonna say last night Jeremy tweeted out Jungle Boy shows up one time and Okada's out.
Scapegoat.
By the way, I had to Google what scapegoat meant because I'm not an English speaking, you know.
You don't have that like metaphor over there?
No, like why do you guys have a word for that? Like
for like somebody that takes the blame but isn't necessarily the one that's guilty. Yeah.
You have a word for that. Like so it must mean that it happens to you guys so often that you have a word for it.
I would say that Americans more make other people scapegoats than anything else. I think we're probably pretty shitty in there.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
But yeah, we'll see. I think New Japan has gone through this before and nobody has seen that closer up than Tanahashi, right? Like nobody. So between Shinsuke leaving, AJ Styles leaving, between AEW starting, you think about Kenny Omega and the loss of the Young Bucks and all of those things, that whole Bullet Club core, Adam Cole, like they've been through this before. My thing is they've done a good job of establishing a lot of things of this new Bullet Club rules. Like Gabe Kidd, it's just out here talking shit and beating people up and it's so much fun. Yeah. And Alex Coghlan is just like suplexing people from a seated position and then posting selfies online with his coffee and reaction shots that say like when I saw a titty, and it's just his face being like he's the best. I'm obviously a huge DSJ fan. I think he could definitely be a force. And I think you have Finley obviously with this new title, but the gap to me is ZSJ's title reign was great, but it was a 15-minute time limit belt, and it was a TV title that was mostly defended elsewhere, right? So I don't know if he has the...
also incredibly ugly, Kate. So
hideous and not in good conditioning, has not worked on it at all. No, like, sincerely, I feel like the title reign was great, and I think a 15-minute time limit on a technical wrestler is something that's really interesting because those stories are about working body parts and limbs over time and being able to circle back to them. So suddenly hastening that to 15 minutes, I think caused some of the most creative technical wrestling endings you're ever going to see. But that work was being done mostly like on ROH television and in other places. So I don't know if that title feels like he could be the next guy title. Finley doesn't feel like he has the, like, be the next guy thing yet. I think Despy had a hell of a year. Like, he's been one of my favorite New Japan stories, and he hasn't had a chance at any heavyweight title. So this is, I think a lot of people criticize the Sonata title reign. I actually really liked it, but now it looks like a problem because you don't have the handoff from Okada to who to be the guy thing.
Exactly.
But you have a lot of seeds there that I think could grow into that position in 2024 and beyond, for sure.
We have a super chat from Coy Stallings. He says, I know we were talking about Okada, but Jack Perry needs to come back, align with the EVPs. Imagine the heat.
Oh, he needs to grow a mustache first. Like,
he's got a beard that makes him look like a huge wizard, but yeah, he would need the
beard.
I'm all for him coming back to his dad and Christian. Like, I'm all for him being a heel under the patriarchy, coming back to that story. I think that could be so much fun. But it was really interesting for him to show up in New Japan. And I think it was a good move because I feel like him coming back on AEW television was almost a no-win situation for him. And I would like to see a lot of the younger talent that's not getting used show up on New Japan Strong or New Japan Proper more often. Like, get that experience, get those reps elsewhere, and come back an even better wrestler while they're realistically... If you're bringing in Will Ospreay and Okada, maybe, and we haven't even seen the other Shelton Benjamin or Mustafa Ali, where they might end up. Like, if you're bringing in that level of talent, you can't not put them on TV, and you can only push so many guys down to ROH, so I feel like sending AEW talent on excursion to Japan would be a really cool move. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's up like Lance Archer, you know, like he still gets to wrestle quite a bit. So, and I wish he was on my TV all the time because I love Lance Archer.
I really wanted them to be the next ROH six-man champions. Like, I loved the pairing of him with the Righteous because him and Dutch are such different big men. And Vincent, to me, is just one of the most compelling guys in the archetype of...
Thank you.
I love Vincent. Like, I really do. I'm such a Vincent fan. I find him so interesting. And he walks the line of that, like, when Bray Wyatt was doing the redneck spooky stuff, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre feeling stuff, like, Vincent kind of fits into that mold almost a little bit. So that trio, like, I think is gold. But I feel like because Lance goes and works New Japan and comes back, he never gets consistent footing in AEW. I really want to see them get behind him, though, because I think the world of him as a talent.
They weren't behind him even before he went to Japan to do, like, stuff.
Like, well, I think he's kind of always gone away and come back, but they've never given him... He's just been, like, the title adjacent guy to lose to people. Like, he's never gotten, like, a fair call.
Like, to Cody, to I almost said Dean Ambrose. Moxley, but, like, he beat Moxley for that New Japan United States Championship. And what? After that, like, nothing.
The death match with Hangman was super fun during his reign, but they really haven't. That was so fun. I loved that match.
It was a good match.
Underrated.
Probably one of my favorite Lance Archer matches that I've, you know, watched. And it wasn't because Hangman bumped like crazy for him and put him over. Lance was, you know, legitimately
solid too. Yeah,
amazing, like, in that match, of course. Yeah. By the way, I actually think that Jack Perry popping up in New Japan, I feel like this was, you know, AEW filling the room, because I feel like they, exactly like us, they have no idea how the audience react to a Jack Perry return, because they don't know if they're going to boo the crap out of him, or they're going to love him, or be straight down in the middle. So them, like, him coming back in New Japan, but in the States, but, like, not there in the States, and everyone booed him, and they're like, okay, now we know, like, they're going to boo him now. So this, for me, it was like filling the room.
I think it probably was to have him come and, like, rip up the contract and have the scapegoat. Course, like, yeah. I think because before, all the Punk stuff aside, he had run out of room on his babyface run. The heel turn to the Hollywood feeling Perry wasn't really clicking.
It was weird.
Like, go kind of, like, explore in this different environment and figure out who you are as a heel, and then show back up, I think could be something that's really fun. And to your point, it was New Japan Strong, which was a card that had John Moxley versus Takagi on it, right? Will Ospreay and Okada. which now is hilarious because we were like, oh, that was cool. Like, Will Ospreay went out on his back to Okada, and maybe Okada should have been going out on his back too. Who knows, right? But there was tons of AEW. Eddie Kingston was on that card. So there's tons of AEW talent on that card still, which means I think a lot of those same eyeballs were probably following it or at least paying attention to it. So I think it was a really wise call. And I think it gives him a little breathing room to kind of figure out what's next. And then he can always show up back in AEW. What intrigued me about it was, I think it was a work. I don't think he really ripped up his AEW contract. So is he going to be like the pillar of establishing what I've been rooting for, which is an ROH New Japan strong shared relationship? Because I think both brands would benefit from that so much. And he could be a really fun like test case. Because I think Jack Perry and ROH could make a lot of sense.
That is actually a pretty good point.
Thank you.
Yes.
Shout out to Ryan who said, no, he clearly did it and said AEW. You know, like, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm so sorry.
You're also being incredibly selfish because, like, you're talking about new ROH on Fightful, on the Fightful post show for Ring of Honor, and you're also a New Japan nut. So, you're kind of selfish.
I'm a wrestling nut. You just want that. I'm a wrestling nut. I love this shit more than ever. Like, I love so many of these sub brands, but there is one more date. I saw the chat you pulled up, Rob.
Yeah, it's a singles match, but I think there's another one too that I read that he might be doing. So,
New Beginnings has a Neverweight Trios match against TMDK boys.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep, I love those guys. Yeah, against Mikey and Shane and Fujita. So
before we let you go, I want to get a percentage of from your guess percentage that we see him in at WrestleMania in a match, or if we see him debut at Revolution. What would you think the percentages?
It's not going to be exactly a debut. Like, he's been there before.
No, but I'm talking like under AEW contract wise.
Unripping a contract, you know.
I'm going to say 50% AEW, 30% WWE, 20% TNA.
All right.
That's going to be my, maybe 35-15. That's probably more fair.
Tonight you'll be doing the SmackDown post show with Alexis, correct?
Yes, I'll be doing the SmackDown post show with Alex Cardozo. Looking very forward to that. WWE's gotten some real wind in their sails of late, and it's very fun.
We are
coming up on Royal Rumble season, baby. So I am excited. Ryan Lambert, how dare you? House of Torture leader Jack Perry. If Jack Perry joins House of Torture, they already broke up Show and Yo, and they already stole Ren Narita out from under us. I will complain about it on the internet. But if you want to hear me complain on the internet more, check me out on the SmackDown Post Show. As Rob said, thank you so much for having me to talk.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
You're the sweetest. Yay. Let's do it again.
Yes. Anytime. Love you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
All right.
Such a sweetheart for doing that.
Yeah. We talked a lot of Okada. So let's move on. So, here, we'll go into this. Maggie, what'd you think of TNA Hard to Kill?
Okay, so first of all, my God, TNA is back. This is so. I've enjoyed this way. Like, I was sure that I would love each and every second of this, but I enjoyed it even more, like immensely. So Dana Brooke appeared under the name of. Remind me?
Elegance by Ash.
Elegance by Ash. Okay, so that's a perfume gimmick.
Yeah.
That is so great. I cannot wait to see where this goes, because from the beginning when I saw it, and I'm like, this kind of reminds me of Toni Storm. But then they aired, a vignette with her last night on Impact. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's great. I absolutely love this. How? So that was so great. I cannot wait. This is gonna hump so much. I did tear up a bit about Bailey and Mercedes Moné both being in attendance watching Trinity and Jordan Grace. Did they what?
Did they show them on TV or no?
Because I have no idea.
Okay, because I didn't see it if you did.
Even if they did, like I was doing like 1,000 stuff, like you know, at the same time, and then going to work. So, forgive me. Yeah. I have no idea if they did, but Jordan Grace did beat Trinity for the knockouts championship again. A marvelous belt. Yeah. Jordan Grace is TNA Knockouts champion, and they will have a rematch next week. It's gonna be a slapper, just like this one was. Again, Jordan Grace, my personal hero. She's such a gem. I adore this woman. I will support her till the end of you know, of the world. As the show was going on, and it was so good, and the grizzled young veterans and everything, and it was so fun. And then all of a sudden, Moose wins the TNA championship. And I was like, fucking boo!
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled about that either.
That is such bullshit, and I will tell you why. Because, like, we all know what happened after that. Nick Nemeth appeared on TNA. He super kicked the living shit out of, you know, of Moose. He got a boo-boo, and that's fine. I don't care. So, like, imagine what Alex Shelley and Nick Nemeth could have done in the ring for that championship. But no, like, they decided to put that on Moose. I hate that. I fucking hate that. Did I mention that I hate that?
Yeah, it's you so did, stupid. Actually.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm sorry. And this is, I know, like, I just don't like Moose, okay? Like, the dude does nothing for me. It's like putting the championship on Braun Strowman. He does nothing for me. He's a big dude who, no, like, Moose is, I feel like he's way more athletic than Braun Strowman is. Braun Strowman's kind of, you know, stiff. Like, I don't like big guys. Like, Wardlow is a different thing, okay? Like, we've discussed this. Wardlow is the exception to the, you know, the rule that Maggie doesn't like big guys. So, also Preston Vance. I'm sure there's more exceptions.
You see, I'm like, this person.
I'm sure there's more of them, but I can't, like, I cannot remember right now. So, yeah. So the thing is, the show ending with Nick Nemeth in the audience tearing up his shirt. Yes. He doesn't want to say it, and he keeps taking pictures with another woman. But like, by the way, his girlfriend is gorgeous. Just so you guys know, she's freaking gorgeous. That I'm kind of sad about it. So like, what was I saying? Yeah, the image of Nick Nemeth tearing his t-shirt, and underneath there's a TNA shirt, and everyone in the audience losing their mind, losing their marbles, chanting TNA. And excuse me, Nick Nemeth wearing a TNA shirt, what year is this? Like, yeah, that is so, like, that bonkers. Okay, that was so weird. And then he appeared last night on the show. He was so hyped for everything, and now he's gonna, you know, he's gonna face Steve Maclin. And please give me that. That's gonna be so great. I didn't know what to expect out of Nick Nemeth on a microphone that is not a WWE microphone, you know. It was fine. Sure. Dolph Ziggler was always kind of underrated on a microphone, because I feel like he was force fed to us a lot in WWE. His peak was in 2014. A lot of people, like, Dolph Ziggler became a lot of people's favorite wrestler in 2014. Like, I kind of feel like that was his best run, a part of his heavyweight championship run with Big E and AJ Lee. Who's coming back at the Rumble?
I had to go look at see what his girlfriend looked like, and You're right. She is pretty hot.
She is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, come on, it's four though. Like, he's.
Yeah, I know. I figured. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't expecting like. Oh.
So during this entire time, I was talking about TNA. You. Were
I was listening. I was listening. Calm down.
Okay. She is pretty gorgeous. She is. Yeah. What did you think of TNA?
I enjoyed
and last night's Impact.
TNA. I didn't get to watch last night's Impact.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
But I enjoyed TNA. Or sorry, last night's TNA Impact, that is. I enjoyed TNA Hard to Kill. I thought it was a very fun show. I really just enjoyed it. Like, overall, you had good matches. The commentary, like normals, was really solid. And it was just a good show overall. And then right after that, I watched Battle in the Valley, so it was just a good night of wrestling. So,
and tonight, such a good night of wrestling. I like we said last week, there was wrestling for absolutely everyone last weekend. It was so good.
Yeah, and you know, so it was good. And tonight, I'll watch SmackDown, and then I'll watch SmackDown live, and then I'll probably watch TNA, and then just watch and record Rampage and watch Rampage, that later. Yeah. Maybe watch it either tonight or tomorrow. So
Impact was amazing last night. You should watch it. Like,
yeah, I will. Cause I mean, yeah. I wanted to, but I had too much going on. So it's like,
I understand. Like, Okada and Josh Alexander number two, like that was, of course, it's going to suffer because of the fact that it's a television match. So we had a lot of commercials. So like that's why it got disrupted.
And just so people know, they did release that match on YouTube without the commercials.
That is absolutely.
So check that out.
Sweet. Thank you. Thank you. That's yeah. It's what I loved most was Scott D'Amore's passionate speech after the match. Like, you should, like, I'm not going to spoil anything for you. Like, he didn't, like, he just hyped the show. Like, Scott D'Amore is Impact Wrestling's biggest cheerleader and now TNA's biggest cheerleader. He was so passionate and so emotional. He shouted so much that at some point, I feel like he said something of the sorts of, if I drop dead tonight when I, you know, when I go to the back, I'll be happy. And I'm like, sweetie, if you don't calm down, you will. Like, calm down. It's because, like, he was so hyped and shouting in the microphone and, like, losing his voice. I love Scott D'Amore. The guy has done wonders for that company. I've loved him so much. Yeah.
Exactly.
I cannot wait for TNA. This is going to be great. I'm going to buy a TNA t-shirt.
Yeah, I get Scott.
Yeah, he dropped a bunch of F-bombs. Yeah, he didn't give a crap. Like, he said shit a lot, and all of a sudden they're bleeping up F-words, and I'm like, come on, what are you guys doing?
Nice. Well, I was going to do this one a little bit later, but since time's kind of changed, I'm going to go ahead and do this now. So here's our Cooper effect. So, guys, you know, I'm actually doing the Cooper effect today. Maggie wanted me to do it. So, here you go. You guys know how much we love animals on this show. It's animals, and just we just absolutely love them. Something that caught my eye was this story about a guy that you probably recognize behind that beautiful dog right there is Dave Bautista. And Bautista recently talked about what he did for his baby girl. The dog's name's Penny Bautista.
Sure.
And he said that he is grateful every day that he gets to spend with her and his other three rescue dogs. To celebrate his birthday, what he did, instead of receiving, he donated to three of his favorite local organizations, Frankie's Friend, which is a animal non-profit, Humane Society of Tampa Bay, and the Golden Near Sanctuary. So he had people donate to those. And basically, he is telling people to adopt, don't shop, rescue pit bulls, make like pit bulls are there's a negative. A lot of people aren't comfortable about getting pit bulls, and I understand that, but they are amazing dogs. If
they do have a shitty reputation because of their shitty owners, it's not their fault. Yeah.
So, just and happy belated to Dave Bautista. He's a fantastic person. He's like us. We just absolutely love animals, and you know what he did to just adopt and try to get people's eyes on adopting animals more instead of going out and shopping from puppy mills and stuff like that. So it's a good thing, and we wanted to talk about that today. So that was our Cooper effect.
The Cooper effect can also be Wardlow's birthday because it's Wardlow's birthday
today. Oh, today's his birthday? Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Did not know that. So, Maggie, you know, we haven't been previewing shows as late because we just don't really want to, but, well, you know, but this week is a little bit different coming up because we have Cody Rhodes and CM Punk that are going to meet in the ring, and have a little discussion.
Oh boy, let me tell you how much I cannot wait for that.
Yeah. So, do you... These two men desperately want to main event WrestleMania. We know that.
Yeah, they do.
And it's gotten really complicated because of The Rock possibly wrestling.
Yes.
And I know
it has gotten even more complicated because we're not sure what Seth Rollins' health is right now.
Correct. So it'll be very interesting to see what route they go. My question is, you know, I like to do the percentages. Percentage that three letters get brought up on Monday. That's AEW. What is the percentage?
No. I'm sorry. So I don't think they are.
No, I'm just asking your percentage of that happening. It can't be zero. Do you give it like 1%, 5%? I give it a 15% because I can see... Actually, I'll give it higher. I'm gonna go 25% because I could see them wanting
getting away
to
with
talk.
It. Yeah,
that and why if you bring up the three letters, that gets people to talk because it rarely happens in WWE. Like bringing up AEW is what I'm saying. I mean, we know that Michael Cole's brought up like New Japan, he's brought up Stardom, stuff like that, but. The fact that
PWG,
that was more shocking than anything.
I was shocked.
I didn't have that on my bingo card.
Yeah, and I was like, he said what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Kate said, he said Trekker, or it was Trekkers the other day. You know, they brought that up. Or Trekkers. What the hell is wrong with me?
I'm gonna give it 15% because, 15. I know. I know, like, Punk signed some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. Like, but, like, he didn't sign stuff to, you know, not talk about AEW whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. There's certain things he can't talk
about. Yeah, sure. There's certain things that he cannot discuss. I'm aware of that. So, yeah, I'm going to give it 15%. Like, they can say a lot of stuff without mentioning the letters mm-hmm. themselves, like they
and names,
and names, like at all, like whatsoever. They can just reference it as the other place because they've done this before.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is, like, they're going to definitely talk about the other company, but what I'm saying is the chances of them actually saying those three letters is what I'm talking about, like 15% they actually say the three letters instead of the other company. So
I'm sure that the AEW is going to get brought up, but them name dropping them, I don't think they have to.
They probably don't. That's the thing. They definitely don't.
Yeah, I want them to have that one-on-one conversation in the ring. That's gonna be so, so great. Do you think they open up the show with that, or?
I feel like they kind of should. The thing is I think they should. However, we've seen WWE do the thing lately where they keep it towards the end.
Yeah, but like they're gonna cut it short because I know, like there's that's still, why. Because they did it with Punk, like he got cut, like his time got cut, and now I feel like if they don't open the show,
I want them to do it in the 10 o'clock hour, so the second hour.
Yeah, sure, but like it's or the 9 o'clock hour.
Well, it's 9 o'clock hour. I was thinking.
You're thinking your time?
Yeah, when I said and it comes on at 7 o'clock for me. So when I was thinking second hour. I was thinking,
Sure.
So there you
go. I get it.
Thanks.
I don't know. They need to open it because Punk hasn't been on the show, Rob.
Yeah. No, he hasn't.
He's been on less than 50% of the time.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of bugging me.
I think these two are gonna talk. Like part of their promo is, I have a feeling that they're gonna want to. They both start the Royal Rumble. I think that's gonna happen. I really do. I think so. And can CM Punk go that long? I think he can. I mean, in that match, I think that's a good way to get them both to say, "Hey, I want the main event." No, I want the main event. Well, you two want the main event. You better earn it. And they're going to go out 1 and 2. That's the way I see it.
Okay, here's the thing. I badly want for Cody Rhodes to main event night two of WrestleMania against Roman Reigns. I badly want that. And not because I'm a huge fan of Cody Rhodes, but because this is what they've been building towards. I feel like for a decade now, it's been like a little more than a year, 2 years maybe. Like I don't remember Rob anymore.
Whatever inning they're in, you know. So
I don't know your sports metaphors, yeah. Robert.
Well, you know, if you would have brought that, if you would have let that guy, this is an inside joke, but if you would have let that guy watch baseball that night in your bar, he would know.
That fucker didn't even know what was coming to him. Like,
so that's an inside joke for this show. But we got a super chat from our good friend Eric Reed. He goes, similar to Batista, what belly button tattoo would you get? Also, with Top Flight and Private Party both healthy, do you think TK creates junior tag titles? I hope. I mean, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love Top Flight. I've said it 1,000 times. Let's stop with all the titles.
Yeah, stop it with all the titles. Also, the belly button, tattoo should be the Omega sign.
Yeah. Well, in mine, like I had like Tupac, I had Thug Life across mine, but as I got bigger, it just said hug a tree. So it's like, yeah. Okay, too soon. But no, if I was to do one, I'd say Thug Life because I like Tupac.
Mike can say Warho.
Warho, yeah.
Warho.
Yeah.
That's it. Just Warho.
Not going to get a fightful tattoo.
I am. No. You're not paying me enough.
They
give
pay
me a
enough,
raise and I'll get a fightful tattoo.
You'd pay be surprised me enough. What I would do for a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it.
So
absolutely.
But Eric, I don't. Yeah, I mean. I love.
No, enough with the belts. Enough with the belts. No. Like for me, they should be, uniting the Ring of Honor and AEW Trio of Championships
they're doing.
Sure. But other than that, or if they're not gonna do it, just like don't have that. People from Ring of Honor defend those championships on AEW and just not appear on Ring of Honor whatsoever. That's bugging me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if they are because I'm like, I'm not watching Ring of Honor because I stopped watching Ring of Honor because it doesn't matter. None of the championships are there.
The show's gotten better, though. I'll say that.
I'm glad. But like, it was never bad in terms of wrestling.
Yeah.
It's been bad that the champions weren't there. Athena is the only one that's holding the front.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I just don't want more belts, and that's really all it is for me.
If like it will be a totally different thing if the belts mattered, but like they just do a bunch of belts that don't mean anything.
Yeah. So our next story, Bailey recently said that when she talked to Sports Illustrated in a new interview, that she said that she and Mercedes, aka Sasha Banks, are always destined to have at least one more match, which I 100% agree. She said the other thing she said was that Sasha Mercedes is her Michael Jordan. So it's very, I like that because I can see that between, I can see why Bailey said that. It will be weird. I shouldn't say weird. Weird's the wrong word. To see those two wrestle again would be fantastic. And I was actually, like, there was part of me that was hoping that WrestleMania they would have a singles match. I think that would be.
It's a missed opportunity for me. Yeah. I feel like they can still do it, but like they have to get their shit together.
Yeah, it'll be a while. So, Sasha's going to AEW.
When?
Well, I'll call her tonight and see what she says, but soon.
I cannot believe that you did a reverse "that's what she said" joke.
No, no, I'm more mature now. I don't do things that I shouldn't do.
As we mature, the relationship matures with us.
Yeah, so I've grown. I'm a different person than I used to be. So I'm just trying to show you I've been better about things. Like last week, I didn't play this at all.
Sacrifice! 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 Sacrifice!
I was about to tell you how proud of you I was, but now I'm not.
I was showing you that I did not play it.
Sure.
That's what I was saying. I did not play it. I mean, I could have.
Yeah, David Busters, damn it.
I could have played that one. Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Like, so. You know, you're lucky that I have my scarf here. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be pretty mad right now.
I wonder what this is. Hold on. This is a new one somebody uploaded. Oh, that's pretty good. Hook. Cool.
We can talk about Hook now if you want.
Hey.
Happy anniversary!
Okay. Done with that now. I'm done hitting buttons.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done. Because I'm done.
Okay. Let's talk about AEW. Oh, no. We have more.
Well, do we? What do we got?
Yeah.
Where's our script here? Oh, Black Darus, he signed with... I can't say he signed with because we don't really know yet, but he does have an agreement with AEW Ring of Honor right now. So that's new. Looking forward to that. Seeing what he does in AEW. There's some good matches he can have.
Yeah. Okay. Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. How awesome was that?
That was good.
Do you know what I loved most about this? The fact that they did not stop circling the ring. They didn't, like, they were like caged animals, you know? Like, that was so great. And Becky Lynch being as dominant as she is, by being the best at what she is, at what she does and what she has become, she put over Rhea Ripley so much.
Oh, yeah.
In just one sentence, she said, I'm afraid that you're better than me, but I want to prove to myself that you're not. Leave it to Becky Lynch to put over something that hasn't even happened yet in one sentence.
You know, the thing
in
is...
one sentence.
You know, the thing is, like, when I'm watching, like, Raw, I'm usually one of those people that, obviously, I don't talk to myself or anything like that, but I remember specifically watching that and I said, oh, wow, that was a hell of a line. I said something to that extent and I was like, oh, shit, here I am talking to myself. But I remember, I tend not to, I guess, but I don't know. But what match made you both? Ooh, that's a tough question for me because when I was a kid, it was probably, well, I'll tell you what got me like into it when I got older was Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect, 1991 SummerSlam. That's what did it for me.
Rock Austin WrestleMania 17. That's an easy pick. Yeah.
So, all right. So yeah, that promo between Becky and Rhea is going to be used a lot for their build up to their match at WrestleMania. I believe they're going to wrestle at WrestleMania.
The only thing that Rhea Ripley said on the microphone, she said, the only person who wants you to win the Rumble more than you is me. See you at WrestleMania. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be okay. Honest. Okay.
It was good times. Good times. It was a
I love this so much. And just like that, I want this to be the main event for night one. I don't care. Okay? I don't care. I know that Seth haven't, like, granted, he's okay for WrestleMania. He's good to go for WrestleMania. I know that Seth has never main evented WrestleMania, ever. CM Punk never main evented WrestleMania, ever. So that's a thing in itself. And I kind of feel like Punk and Seth is the way to go here. That's what matters, right? Because, like, on the other end, there's, like, other stuff to worry about. So on the Raw brand, Punk and Seth is the way to go. But because Punk hasn't been there at all, and Seth is kind of a question mark right now concerning his knee. So what Becky and Rhea did in 1 minute, like, I know the promo itself was more than 1 minute, but like they in less than a minute, they put over something that hasn't even happened yet. And it's a question mark at itself, because like I'm sure that if Seth and Punk is the way to go, then it's gonna be main event and main eventing 9-1. I'm sure. But Becky and Rhea should be the main event. We made the same point last year when it was Rhea and Charlotte. I wanted this to main event 9-1, but having in mind the huge buildup that the tag team match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and the Usos had, that the only reason why Rhea and Charlotte would have main evented night one was because they had to have a women's main event. The right decision was having the tag titles main event show the night one. What Charlotte and Rhea did was prove a point, and they had a wonderful match. I wonder what happens this year, because again, what both these women did tonight was get me so hyped for this match, and now I want this to be the main event for night one. What will eventually happen? There's so much time. There is so much time, and there's so many things up in the air. We have, like, the Rumble hasn't even happened yet. I mean, Becky hasn't even won the Rumble yet.
Yeah.
She may not win the Rumble, but, like, planting those seeds in that promo, I feel like they have to now.
And, you know, we're going to do our prediction show next week for the Royal Rumble. But it's something that came to me last night when I was thinking about it. And I know I said, like, I would like to see CM Punk and Cody start the Rumble. But there's a part of me, you know, hear me out on this. There's a part of me.
It's going to be some sort of fuckery, right?
I don't think so. There's a part of me that would absolutely love to see CM Punk, like, let's say it's number 15, okay? Like, he eliminates number 15, and then he's just in the ring by himself. And the 16th person in the Royal Rumble, John Cena's music hits. Could you imagine them having a face-off just in the ring at Royal Rumble, like with nobody else in the ring. Holy hell, Batman. That's all I wanted to say about that.
It's actually really interesting.
Yeah, I would like that.
What I really want is for actually AJ Lee. Of course, AJ Lee, like she comes in and pulls him by the ear over the third rope, you know, and it's like, what do you think you're doing? And like she, she does the fuckery and everything, like the kiss of death.
Yeah, there you go.
And eliminates him because, you know, they have that stupid rule that people outside of the Royal Rumble match can eliminate people. That is so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what I want is for actually Punk and The Rock to have a face off because The Rock was the one to dethrone CM Punk from his monumental at the time reign. It was the Rumble, right? The Rock beat him at the Rumble. Yeah. So that's gonna be kind of interesting. The other interesting thing that I do not want to happen, I don't want it to happen, but it will be interesting if Kane returns. I don't want that. If Kane returns and CM Punk is there, because Kane is the one to eliminate, you know, corporate Kane eliminated Punk from the 2014 Royal Rumble after corporate Kane was already eliminated by Punk. So because Kane was so mad about it that he eliminated Punk after. That's so stupid. If you get eliminated, you shouldn't be able to eliminate other people.
Correct. I agree with that.
That is so dumb. I've hated this every year since I've been watching a Rumble match.
It's a trope that's been done so many times. Yeah. It's crazy.
It shouldn't be a thing. Let's move on. Let's talk about AEW now.
Well, yeah, one thing before AEW. Cora Jade unfortunately tore her ACL last week at a NXT house show.
She just came back.
Yeah, she just came back. So our thoughts are with her. Can't wait for her to come back.
Maybe she should come back as a baby face. I feel like that is exactly
what I said to Throwback last night when we talked to AEW or NXT.
Yeah, like I feel like the universe is shouting at Cora Jade, don't be a heel, this isn't working for you. Or make it make sense. I don't know. Like it's so weird. Well wishes, everything. Leave, guys, please leave a thumbs up and last calls for super chats and hopper chats. Yep. We will be diving into Dynamite right now.
Yep. AEW Dynamite took place in South Carolina this past week.
South Carolina. That doesn't work.
The show kicked off with Christian Cage defeating Dustin Rhodes. What do you think of this?
It was an okay match. It was a pretty good Dustin match. I mean, I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed didn't enjoy his match against Swerve Strickland. But at this, it's 2024. Like Dustin matches will also will always bring nostalgia to me, and also his wrestling career is as old as me. So like that's kind of. Not fair. He's been in the ring for 35 years. I was born 35 years ago. So please stop. Just every time I feel like please don't hurt yourself. Like it's just I know like him, Sting, you know, people of that caliber, like they're proving me wrong every day, and I get it, but like that's enough. Yeah.
And just so people know, like when we do these reviews, we just talk about the parts we want to talk about. We kind of go out of order, just so people know. Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta defeated Penta and Commander.
Trent was the one to get the pin here, and I'm so happy because finally...
Your scarf's talking to you.
Scarf, sweetie, I've been waiting for you. Yeah, so, okay, no, that's not going to work. So, it's like TK finally understood that people enjoy watching Trent get wins at matches. Because, like, we've been we've been beating the drum for best friends being tag team champions for quite some time now, yeah, right?
We didn't get it with Pride
Power. With Proud and Powerful, like, Proud at Power. All. Like, I sure as hell hope that we get to see that with best friends. I hope that Chuck Taylor gets better soon. I hope that this happens. I'm pretty sure that Roderick Strong is dethroning Orange Cassidy from being champion. This is the way to go, because Undisputed Kingdom will all be champions. We have, you know, I'm just going to mention it real quick. They did have the segment with Adam Cole and War Daddy. Happy birthday, sweetie. Each and every week, like, nothing new is mentioned on television. It just more like Wardlow's side eye gets bigger and bigger, and he continues saying nothing. Like, he doesn't say, yeah, that's the thing that I'm gonna do. He says nothing, and then boom, and I'm like, boom, back to you, sweetie. So yeah, it's gonna be a really interesting couple of months for AEW.
Yeah, it is. And we had the Mark Briscoe came out to the stage and talked about his brother Jay. And it was the 1 year anniversary passing. They showed a video that was very touching. And Jay's daughter, who was with him in the car, was brought out on stage by Mark Briscoe. He talked about how doctors said she would never walk again. And she came out there walking with a beautiful smile. So,
that is so it was incredibly touching, yeah. Emotional, and I'm so happy for her.
Yeah. Your guys, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, sat down with the wonderful and amazing talented Renee Paquette.
How much time did it take you to realize that they have the Vince mustache? Because it took me some time to realize that.
No, I realized, I'm like, oh, look at that.
It took me quite some time because, like, I had so many questions about everything, you know, because, like, Matthew Jackson was wearing a cardigan.
Yeah.
Like,
what? They really, like, harped on being the EVPs in regards to Sting. They said that they need to take him out because of what he represents, the old era, even though Sting is the is the one that goes against, like, the grain, to speak, of the veterans they dislike. They still need to go back to their original statement of the company, mission statement of the company.
They needed to get rid of the toxicity and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, they're talking about it.
they were talking about it. And I'm like, these guys are so good at being the douchebag heels. Like,
they're such dicks. I love that. Yeah. Super dick party.
Yeah. Yep. So that was good. And then you had the Ring of Honor 6-man tag team championship, Bullet Club Gold, defeating the Mogul Embassy to win the title.
With the help of Anthony Bowens.
Now here's my question to you. We've seen hints before, and it hasn't happened in a while, about Billy Gunn, like, maybe leaving, like, the scissor. This would be a good opportunity. This would be a good opportunity for him to turn and help his boys win the titles.
You know, because, like, I'm going to take you back. Do you remember when everyone was anticipating Alexa Bliss turning on Nikki Cross?
Yeah.
And then she never did?
Yeah. It's the same feeling.
It's the same feeling because, like, we were anticipating Daddy Ass, you know, turning his turning on the Acclaimed, and I'm like, okay, like, we know this is coming, so when is it coming? That is a weird sentence that I said.
Yeah.
So
with Blue Chew, you can keep going.
Yeah. Okay. They're not sponsoring us.
I know, but they deserve a free
Burberry show. Needs to sponsor this show. I will not stop having this scarf with me until MJF returns and Scarf gets his old name back on Twitter. We love you, sweetie. Hope you're staying warm because I am.
we had Deonna Purrazzo defeat Anna Jay. Anna.
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 That was Anna Jay, probably one of Anna Jay's best matches.
Yeah, like it was
the death match, the death match that she had when she got, you know, the tap was really amazing. But I that was a really excellent match.
Yeah, I can't remember what Toni Storm said to Ian Riccaboni, but I cracked up.
I know what she said. Like, I have it in my notes.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah. Oh no! Wait, I don't have it.
Okay. It was something about like looking like Toni Schiavone, and
yeah, she said that you look so good, clean shaven, and she stroked his hair throughout the entire time that she was on commentary. Yeah. It was so sweet, and you got rid of those horrible earrings. I actually think that Taz said this because Ian Riccaboni was on commentary throughout the night in place of Toni Schiavone. You were pretty happy about that, I'm sure. So,
no, yeah. I'm not happy about it. It's my bit. So
it's a kayfabe happy. Don't kill the bit.
Feel better.
So Ian Riccaboni did amazing on commentary, by the way. It was so good. But the thing that Toni said to Deonna, that what did she say about her box? She's gonna suck her in her box.
Yeah.
Suck. Do you know what box is?
Oh, I know what a box is. Yeah.
Okay. Because I had to Google it. I mean, I know what box is. Yeah. And then, like, oh, it's slang for mouth. It's slang for also what?
Yeah.
And then, like, no. Everything, like I love Toni Storm so much. This is working. This is amazing. And her doing a promo from Luther's shoulders.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that Luther is doing something on AEW television because he is so good at this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
also Renee Paquette losing her mind in the ring and trying not to at the same time. And Deonna Purrazzo is doing a pretty good job at that also, because like she was cracking up. I love this.
Yeah, like, so the people that might not know, the box is
okay, yeah. Okay,
basically, sure. Ron Burgundy said it best to he's gonna punch you in the ovaries. So that's like in that area. So there you go.
That's a really respectful way to describe such a vulgar.
Well, I'm a respectful person.
Sure. So,
yeah. I mean.
Sacrifice! 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 Sacrifice!
I'm going to sacrifice the scarf and choke you with it.
You're talking dirty again.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see here. Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe and Hook. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, what did you think of this match?
What did I think? I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. I said after that match was ending, I said, AEW has a future world champion, in my opinion. Like, yeah, sure. they do. But I also said, I am very intrigued to see what way they go with Samoa Joe, Swerve, and Magnum TA. So, AKA.
I see. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just letting people that might not know. So Corey got pregnant from it, so that's good. But it was a hell of a match. I loved it.
I'm looking forward to your next 9 months, sweetie. Yeah. They're going to be hell.
Kind of like hell with you putting that scarf back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm
getting your ass kicked over there. But no, it was such a good match. I enjoyed it. It was
I'm
solid.
Just trying to do my best not to sit on it because I don't want to sit on my scarf.
Okay. But no, it was solid. It was better than I thought it'd be. And I'm
absolutely.
And I knew and he wasn't going to win.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah. And I knew he wasn't going to win, but they gave me hope. You know what I'm saying? It felt like that. So I loved it.
It was such an amazing thing because Taz being on commentary for this, I'm sorry, but it was so good. That Yuri Nagi on the announce table, right in front of his father, nevertheless. It is so awesome. Hook flipped him off after that. I mean, like the balls on this guy to flip off Samoa Joe. And Taz, the moment Hook flipped off Samoa Joe, and Taz was, "Don't do that, Hook." And I'm like, yeah. I mean, that was so good. Hook kicking out at one from the muscle buster.
Okay.
So because like there was a lot of hate on internet because Hook kicked. No, he didn't kick out. He stood up immediately after a tombstone pile driver, and then the internet lost it from that. I don't know against who he was wrestling. I'm sorry, no disrespect to the other wrestler, but everyone lost their mind. Oh, he got out immediately after the pile driver, man. That's so fake. I mean, at this point, this is Hook's gimmick, right? Like he does stuff that the internet will be, you know, incredibly mad about, and I'm absolutely fine with that. He did kick out at one from the muscle buster yet, but after Samoa Joe beat him eventually, he got out the ring. Hook was like, "That's all you got," and then Samoa Joe angrily, because that wasn't a normal kick in the dick, right? That was such an angry, emotional, and I don't give a crap about you kicking the dick hole. That was so great. And then, you know, Hangman came to save Hook. And after everything, Hangman wanted to help Hook out of the ring, but Hook did not want his help. So my question to you is, because Hook was on such an amazing winning streak. A lot of people were mad. I didn't see any of it, weirdly, because I'm not on Twix that much anymore. So,
smart move.
Yes. So my question is, because Hook was so dominant, and actually a lot of people saw that he can hang in the ring with the best of them, because that is Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe right now is a champion. Chef's kiss. He is everything that he has to be. Amazing. So at what point does Hook feud with Christian Cage and Christian Cage has to cut a promo on Taz?
Oh my God.
Like, please, I need this. Because, like, I want Christian Cage to hold that gimmick forever and ever. That is so good.
I do too. I need this. But yeah, that would be great. And Hook would be a good person to actually beat Christian Cage for that title when they eventually get there. In my opinion, I think he'd be a great TNT champion. So I agree.
I would think so too, because in my eyes, the FTW championship is not a championship. Like, you're running around with your father's trophy. Like, it's not. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. That would give them a chance to actually get rid of it too. So.
Yeah. Like, they can have it in, like, for by all means, have Taz have it on his shoulder on commentary. I don't give a crap. Just don't have wrestlers in the ring holding that championship up over their head as if it's something in the company.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up the show here pretty quick. So, Maggie, plug your shit.
You can find me on Twix at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you, guys. Also, join us next week. We're going to talk about Rumble, and then we're going to have a Royal Rumble preview on Fightful Select. Yay.
Yeah.
It's coming. So am I.
Yeah. You know what we should do next week during the show?
What?
We should eat ice cream, like, on the show.
What?
For the Royal Rumble. Just for the Royal, because I really want ice cream right now, and I was thinking about it.
I'm so you're just searching for excuses to have ice cream.
Yeah, we can have ice cream next week on the show. We'll call it Royal Rumble.
We can. We We can talk into the microphone with our mouths full.
Yeah, why not? It's nothing new. But guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. You can follow me on Fightful or on Instagram at Fightful Rob.
On Fightful and yep. Instagram Rob. Yeah.
And on Facebook, Jesus, Maggie, you screw me up. And on Thread at Fightful Rob. It's my first day. Relax. Let me do my thing. But guys, want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Again, do us a huge favor. Hit that like button below. And also leave that thumbs up. So we will talk to you soon.
Subscribe to Fightful Select, please.
Yeah, please. So talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks again for watching Coexisting with Rob and Maggie on Fightful Overbooked. This episode you just watched is available anytime on FightfulOverbooked.com or on YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Please help support us by subscribing to our channel, clicking the thumbs up button below, and leaving a comment. It helps us out a ton. This show and any of your other favorite Fightful shows are available on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Follow us on X at Fightful, and on Instagram.com/FightfulOnline and Facebook.com/FightfulOnline.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.